My name is Daniel Barenboim, and I'm a pianist and conductor, or better said, I'm a musician. My introduction to Bruckner and his symphonies took place in Australia, of all places, where I was playing with Raphael Kubelik, who was conducting the Ninth Symphony by Bruckner, and I was simply mesmerized by the music. I was 15 years old and I was not well versed in analyzing my thoughts, let alone emotions. But I remember being fascinated by the way the orchestra sounded. I never dreamt about becoming a conductor. All that came very much later, and when I got my first chances, I was conducting in Manchester with the Halle Orchestra, at that time conducted by the legendary Sir John Barbirolli. And he invited me to conduct, and I conducted in my first week there my first Bruckner Ninth and my first Beethoven Ninth. I did not suffer from an excess of modesty, shall we say. You know, Bruckner is a very special world in the world of music. The musical idiom, the musical language, is post-Wagner, late 19th century. The form, however, is classical, is almost baroque. And that already gives you the feeling that you are dealing with two or three centuries of music at the same time. The more I conduct Bruckner, I think this is not architecture, this is an archaeological expedition. I feel every section, especially the late symphonies, is like going deeper and deeper underneath the earth, and then you are at the bottom, you are left with some incredible result of archaeological excavation. Bruckner from the beginning was looking for something new, and you feel that already in the first symphony. If you look at the beginning of the slow movement, for 18 bars, there is no tonality. It is like having a huge search. It is as if you are trying to look for something that fell on the floor that is minute and of a similar color to the floor and is very difficult to find. It is one of the most extraordinary beginnings of any movement in any music. The Vienna Philharmonic premiered the Second Symphony by Bruckner, and the musicians said, "Never again." I think the Bruckner's Second Symphony is a difficult symphony now, and it probably was then too. The slow movement of the Second Symphony is very special. It starts out in great simplicity, sort of Brucknerian nobility, but as the movement develops, it gets very intricate. it's quite extraordinary. But you know, we played the Bruckner Third in Vienna, in the Musikverein, where the piece was premiered. And the people who run the hall and who know the history so well will tell me again what a terrible scandal it was. And there was a young man who came and was very interested and then made an arrangement for four hands of the Third Symphony because he thought the piece was so extraordinary and will not be played again so soon. And so people could learn it and get to know it much better by playing it at home on two pianos. And that was none other than Gustav Mahler. Beginning of the Bruckner Third, we finally have the typical Bruckner tremolo that starts the piece in the violas. And it has the first big climax that the later symphonies developed even more so, the fourth, the seventh, the eighth, all of them. In the fourth symphony, which is called the Romantic, he starts with a tremolo, but there is something distant. The horn at the beginning, I suppose this is what makes people interpret the meaning Romantic symphony. In the fourth symphony, in the first movement, I think you get for the first time with some real insistence a rhythm that was to become a signature for Bruckner of 2+3. Pam 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 pam. The Fifth Symphony is a monster. It has a huge first movement. A very medieval second movement with string pizzicatos under a very lonely oboe line. And a fourth movement, which is a huge archaeological expedition. In the last movement, you feel you dig and you get to one level lower and you dig more and you dig more and you are ready 15 or 20 layers. You are now maybe in 2,000 years before Christ, and you find another level, etc. The Sixth Symphony by Bruckner, I think, is often neglected because it doesn't have so much similarities with the other symphonies. First of all, it starts with a rhythmical figure. Thum, pa-da-pa-pa-pum, pa-da-pa-pa-pum. Totally unexpected, un-Brucknerian, if you want. The Seventh Symphony of Bruckner is probably the most approachable. It has absolutely a unique slow movement. It's the first time the Wagner tuba has come. They give a very, very important new color to the orchestra. The end represents the moment when he was told that Wagner had died, and the last 20 or 30 bars are like a sort of elegy to him. I can't agree with Bruckner when he said that the Eighth was the best symphony, because if I have the bad chance that you come to hear me conduct the Seventh, you will think, ah, but the Eighth must be better. The Eighth Symphony, already in the first minute or so, gives you the inclination of the huge breadth of the symphony. The slow movement, which has one of the simplest melodies ever invented, which consists of five notes, four of which are repeated, and one is slightly above it. Ding dong ding. The Ninth Symphony is a continuation of the Eighth and a continuation of the Third. The Scherzo strikes me as really almost 20th century music. Tremendous rhythmical and dynamic energy, and the slow movement to end all slow movement because of its beauty, of its size, of its harmonic richness. Thank you. There is not one key thing in order to conduct successfully any music. The first thing conductors should remember is that in music there are no shortcuts. You know, you have to understand that to be a musician requires understanding of oneself, of one's qualities and faults that are very important. When you are studying the music, you cannot have enough modesty in front of the scores. These are not just black spots on white paper. These are signs through which you come into contact with a very great and important human statement.